Hey, good morning. Today's daf is Bava Kama daf Mem Aleph. We left off on Mem Amud Beis, about two-thirds down on the Amud. We had left off, or we had just begun, but we'll pick up again from the two dots with a discussion of a shor ha-tzadin, of a shor that's trained to perform in arenas, and basically it's trained to gore people. And what the halacha is legabe the mizbeach, whether so we know that generally a shor that's a nagchan is puzzle to be brought as a karban. But the question is, what happens if this shor is trained to gore? Is that shor going to be puzzle to be brought as a karban, or is it going to be kosher to be brought as a karban? That discussion is going to take us pretty much until the Mishnah on top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah on top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens if a shor gores a person and he dies, whether the kofar payment has to be made, who do you have to gore in order to be chayev, in order for the shor to be chayev misa, the shor is chayev misa through skila if it gores somebody and it dies, irrespective of whether the kofar payment has to be made by the owner of the shor. And then we're going to talk a bit about how we know that if the shor gores somebody and it dies, meaning that the shor is chayiv misa through skila, how do we know that there's an isra achila? How do we know that there's an isra hana from the shor? Whether the isra hana extends only to the basar or also to the or? That conversation carries over to Mem Aleph Amud Beis, where we have the famous Gemara about Shimon HaMsuni, who would be Doresh, all of the Essen Shebe Torah, until he came to Es Hashem Elokech Atira. So again, like mostly all about oxen goring and stuff like that, and like a 5-6 line respite at the end of, or toward the end of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, which we'll get to hopefully at the end of the shiur. Okay, so we left off, and we will pick up from Shor HaTzadin, which is four lines up from the wide lines on Mem Amud Beis. So Shor HaTzadin ain't a chay misa. So a Shor HaTzadin, a Shor of the arenas, is not chay of misa if it gores. So Yibay Lumal Lagabe Mizbeach. So they asked the kasha, what about Lagabe Mizbeach? In other words, we know that if we have a Shor who's a Nagchan Beratzon, who gores willingly and kills somebody, then it's definitely going to be puzzled to be brought as a karban. What happens to this shor? What's the story with this shor, which is trained to gore people? So Rav Amar Kasha. Rav says it's kasha for the mizbeach. Shmuel Amar Puzzel. Shmuel says it's puzzle to be brought as a karban. Rav Amar Kasha. Rav says it's kasher to be brought as a mizbeach anusu, because it is an anus, and therefore it was not nogeach. It was not a nagchan me ratzon, and therefore it's kasher to be brought as a karban. Shmuel Amar Puzzel, and Shmuel says that it's puzzle. Why hare nevad ba'avera? Because it did an avera. It doesn't matter whether it did it ba'ones or it did it ba'ratzon. It's an animal that does an avera, or through which an avera is done, is puzzle to be brought as a karban. Consequently, the shor is puzzle to be brought as a karban. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, correct the Gemara Kasha, Meisvei, Mina Behema, it says Mina Behema, is Lahotzi Esaroveya, comes to exclude Eroveya, Vesanirva, an animal that either was boel a woman in an act of bestiality, or an animal that was the subject of an act of bestiality. Mina bakar lahotzi esaneva, it comes to exclude an animal that was worshipped as avodah zarah. Minatzon lahotzi esamukta, minatzon comes to exclude an animal that was set aside to be used as an avodah zarah. Umenatzon, from the extra vav, umenatzon lahotzi esanogeach, and umenatzon comes to exclude a nogeach from being brought as a karban. Rashi says, what's the case of nogeach over here where it's around to be brought as a karban? I thought that if an animal kills somebody, and we're going to see this in the Mishnah that we're going to learn in a couple of minutes on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, if an animal for sure kills somebody, whether or not the baal's mechayev kofar, the kofar payment, the animal is subject to death by skila. So if the animal gores somebody, in which case he's going to be subject to death by skila, how are we ever having a machlokas whether it's fit to be brought as a karban? Once it gores somebody, it's chayev skila, it's not going to be around to be brought as a karban. So Rashi says we're obviously dealing with a case where there was only one witness to the act of goring, and therefore you would not put the animal to death. You would not give the animal skila based on the testimony of one witness or based on the admission of the Baal. You would only give the animal skila. It says kamisa sabailam kachmisa sashor. You would only give the animal skila if there were two witnesses, if there are two kashura witnesses to the act. So that's how, says Rashi, you could have a nagchan who's around where we have a debate whether they could be brought as a carbon. But over here we see clearly that a nagchan cannot be brought as a carbon. Now, what type of nagchan are we talking about? So says the Gemara like this: Amar Rav Shimon, three lines down on the wide lines. Amar Rav Shimon, im nemar roveya lama nemar nogeach, v'im nemar nogeach lama nemar roveya. If we already have an example of roveya, why do we need the example of nogeach? If we have the example of nogeach, why do we need the example of roveya? In other words, I know the key is that if the animal does an avera, if there's an avera that's done through the animal, then it's possible to be brought as a karban. So says the Gemara, Mimnei sheyesh b'roveya she'im b'nogeach, v'yesh b'nogeach she'im b'roveya. Because the halachas are different; they each have attributes that are unique to each animal. So roveya asa ba'ones karatzon. So by roveya, they made ones karatzon. Nogeach lo asa ba'ones karatzon. By a nogeach, however, they did not equate a case of ones with a case of ratzon. So it comes out that if by nogeach they did not equate a case of ones with a case of ratzon, then the only type of nogeach that would be possible to be brought as a karban is a nogeach beratzon. However, a nogeach beones would be kosher to be brought as a karban. A shorhart stadin is a nogeach beones because it's trained to do it. It's not its fault. Mashein kein rovea, whether it's an ones or a ratzon, it's going to be possible to be brought as a karban. Nogeach mashalem kofer. Nogeach is more stringent than rovea. It's a different halacha than rovea because by a nogeach it pays the kofer payment. Rovea in a mashalem is a kofer. However, rovea does not make a kofer payment. Lafikach hutzrach lomar rovea votzrach lomar nogeach. Therefore, it had to teach me both the halacha of rovea and the halacha of nogeach. But katani mias, says the Gemara, focus on what we just said. Katani mias rovea also ba ones karatzon. By rovea it makes an ones karatzon. Nogeach lo asa ba ones karatzon. By nogeach we did not make an ones karatzon. So lamai hilchaso, what halacha is this for? Lav le karbon, doesn't it mean that legabe karbon we don't make an ones like a ratzon? Meaning the only type of nogeach that's puzzled to be used as a karbon is a nogeach beratzon, but a nogeach beones is going to be kosher to be brought as a karbon. So says the Gemara, lo, we're not talking about the halacha of a karbon at all, liktala, we're talking about the din of whether the shor is chayev misa if it gores. That if it gores beratzon, then it's going to be chayev misa with skila. If it gores ba'ones, then it's not going to be chayev misa. It's not going to have to be put to death with skila. Sachanami mistabra. So this is also mistaber. The amrit lekarbon, because if you wanted to say that the distinction over here was whether it is fit to be used as a karbon, nogeach lo asa ba'ones karatzon, then we say that by nogeach, we didn't make an ones, we didn't make the case of ones like the case of ratzon. Lav ones di deiksiv, lav ratzon di deiksiv. Why would I think to distinguish or compare or have any framework for dealing with both an ones and a ratzon by karbon, because it doesn't talk about the inyan of ones and ratzon by karbon at all. Elolav liktala. The only time the Torah distinguishes, the only time the Torah sets up a fact pattern where it comes into play that the animal is goring either ba'ones or baratzon, is legabe k'tala, is legabe whether the animal is put to death. So says the Gemara, the Gemara appears to conclude that it will be puzzle to be used as a karban, whether or not it gores ba'ones, whether or not it gores baratzon. This brisa that appears to be making a distinction between ones and ratzon is not legabe its fitness to be used as a karban. It's legabe its being subject to the death penalty to skila if it gores somebody and actually kills somebody. So says the Gemara, says the Gemara Vayter. So Amar Mar, Nogeach Meshalim Esakofer, Nogeach, one of the distinctions that we had said earlier in the brisa between a nogeach and a roveya is that a shor that's nogeach pays kofer, a shor that's roveya does not pay kofer. Some are marred nogeach mishalim es a kofer, roveya in a mishalim es a kofer. Then a nogeach pays kofer, not a roveya. Say, echidami, what type of case are we talking about that a roveya does not pay kofer? Say, ilema de rava vakatla, if the animal is ball or a person and commits an act of bestiality and kills the person in the process, so mali katla bakarna, mali katla baravia. In that case, why should the owner of the animal not be chayef to pay kofar? Why does it make a difference whether his animal kills another person in the act of goring or whether his animal kills another person in the act of committing bestiality? Whatever the case, the animal is responsible for the death of the person, and therefore the animal should be put to death. Ve'ela derava ve'lo katla. Rather, we're talking about a case where the animal committed an act of bestiality and did not kill the person. So, haidelo mashalim kofer, mishum delo katlahu. So then it's pashat that the animal doesn't pay kofer. Why? Because kofer is a payment that has to be paid when the animal kills somebody. Here the animal didn't kill somebody. So this has nothing to do with the fact that it's a distinction between roveya and nogeach. That has to do with the fact that you're chayef kofer only in a case where the animal kills somebody. Here it didn't kill somebody. Therefore, the animal is putter from paying, the owner of the animal, rather, is putter from paying kofer. Zamar abaya liolam derava velo katla. Really, the case is, yes, we're dealing with a case where the animal committed an act of bestiality, the animal was boil a person, and did not kill the person in the act of bestiality. However, dasuya lebedina v'katlua. But then they brought the woman to Basin, and they said, this woman is an avarian, this woman committed an act of bestiality, based in her that she committed an act of bestiality, and Basin put her to death. Now, mao detema, I might have thought, command the kotla dummy, that it's basically, for all intents and purposes, it's as if the animal killed her. Why? Because even though the animal didn't physically kill her in the act of bestiality, the animal, by being boil her, was the cause of the woman's death. So I might think that we would charge the woman's death to the animal, and the owner of the animal would therefore have to pay kofar. Kamash malan, that we don't do so. Rav Amar, Rava says, liolam de Rava v'katla. Really, we are dealing with a case where the animal commits an act of bestiality and kills the person and kills the woman in the process. In that case, why doesn't he pay kofar? Why doesn't the owner pay kofar? With the kakashala mali katla berkanaya mali katla beravia, if you're going to ask me, well, why don't we pay kofar in this instance? What's the difference if the animal kills with its horns or with its act of bestiality? So says the Gemara, there's a big difference. Karen kavanasa lahazik. Because by an act of karen, there's kavana to do damage. Hai kavanasa lanos atzmahu. Over here, however, the animal is miskavein for its own anoa. It's not miskavein to do nezek. And since it's not miskavein to do damage, therefore the owner of the animal is not going to be chayev the kofar payment, even though it may kill the victim in the act of committing the bestiality. So says the Gemara, b'mai pligi, what are they arguing about here? B'regel shadarsa al gabei tinok b'chatzar hanizak. They're arguing about a case of regel where the animal tramples on a baby in the chatzar hanizak, in the courtyard of the nizak. So it's got to be talking about the chatzar hanizak because regel b'shos harabim is going to be potter. But in the chatzar hanizak, so let's say the animal commits an act of regel, that it just tramples a baby while walking. Is the owner of the animal going to be chayiv kofar on account of the fact that the animal wound up killing the baby? So la abaye mishalim kofar. According to abaye, then it will pay kofar. Says Rashi, afal pi shalon eskavein lahazik, even though it was not miskavein to do damage, da uki derava velo kotla. Because Abaya said that we were dealing with a case where the animal committed an act of bestiality and didn't kill the victim. But the mashmos is, if the animal did kill the victim, then the owner of the animal would have been chayef kofar, even though the animal didn't have any malicious intent, the animal didn't have any intent to harm when it committed the act of bestiality. So too over here, the owner of the animal would be chayef to pay kofar, even though the animal didn't have intent to harm when it trampled the baby, it was stam walking. But however, the Gemara then says, L'Rava lo mishalim kofar. However, according to Rava, this animal who was trampling the baby in the Chatzor Nizik would not pay kofar. Why? Because Rava says that the animal pays kofar only by an act of keren, when there is kavana to be mazik. So over here we see a machlokes Abai and Rava. The Rishonim ask that we learn in the Gemara Baba Metzia, I think it is, that the halacha is like Rava by, except for the cases of Yal Kagam, and therefore over here the halacha should be like Rava, that you are not Meshalim Kofar for an act of Regel. Rava says that you're Meshalim Kofar only for an act of Keren, where there's Kavanos Olahazik. However, any act where there is no Kavanos Olahazik, when the animal is only either acting without kavana at all or doing something lanos atzmo, the halacha should be that you are not mishalim kofar. However, the Gemara on Daf Chavav, the Gemara earlier, paskin, that there is kofar that is owed by regel if the animal kills somebody through an act of regel. But why is that the case if Rava holds that you are chayev kofar only for an act of keren, not for an act of regel? So the Rishonim answer that Rava here is not telling us, he's not conveying his own shita. What Rava is doing is Rava is postulating a way to explain the Braisa. In other words, Rava is just saying, Abai interprets the Braisa in a certain way. Rava's interpreting the Braisa in a different way. Rava's own interpretation of Rava's own shita is that the animal is chayev kofar, whether it damages in the act of keren, or whether it damages in the act of regel. In order to explain the Braisa, however, Rava would say that we could be talking in the Shita who holds that you're chayev kofar only for an act of keren, and therefore there's not necessarily a kasha hilchasa from this Braisa. So explain the Rishonim. So the Gemara just sums up with a psak halacha here. Tanya kavase derav. Now going back to the prior machlokes, shara et studin ainu chayev misa. A shara et studin, a shar of the arena who's trained to gore, is not chayev misa for killing, and v'kosher legabe mizbeach, and is going to be kosher to be brought as a karban. Mipnei shehu kama'usa, because it's as if it's forced to gore because it's trained to do it, so it's not as if it's acting on its own will. All right, so it says the next Mishnah. Shor shenaga chesa adam umes. If a shor gores a person and the person dies, so mu'ad mishalim kofar. So if it's a shor mu'ad, then the bailam has to pay kofar. If a tam potter min a kofar. If it's a shor tam, then the bailam is potter from paying kofar. V'zeh v'zeh chayav en misa. However, whether it's a shor tam or a shor mu'ad that gores somebody and the person dies, the ox is going to be chayav misa through skila. V'chein b'bein v'chein b'bas. So whether the shor kills a katan or a ktana or a tinok or a tinokes, is going to be chayev skila, and the owner, if it's a shor muad, is going to be chayev and kofar, just the same as if the animal would be chayev death and the owner would be chayev kofar if the ox gored a gadol. There's no difference between gadolim and katanim for this purpose. Nogach eved o ama, if it gored an eved or an amma, if it gored a maidservant or a servant, assuming the animal was a mu'ad and there was a kofar payment. Now, generally, we said yesterday, generally the kofar payment is determined by evaluating, we saw machlokas, whether you evaluate the mazik or the nizak, but it's calculated by evaluating somebody on the slave market and assessing what that person would have been worth if sold as a slave. And whatever that value is, that's the value that the owner of the animal has to pay in kofar. By an eved, it's a different story. By an eved, there's a fixed payment that has to be made, no matter how valuable or not valuable the eved is. So no saying shloshim shloim, then the kofar payment is 30 shloim, bein shu yafa me'amane, bein sheina yafa eladinar. Whether it's worth $1 or $100, there are really $4 or $100, the payment that's owed is going to be $30 for an eved. So says the Gemara like this. Now, the Gemara is bothered by how are we ever dealing with a case of Shor HaMuad, if you told me that the distinction between a Tam and a Muad is only lagabe the payment of kofar, but lagabe the halacha that the animal is chay of death, that the animal is chay of skila, the halacha of the Tam and the halacha of the Muad are equal. So says the Gemara, v'chimi achar demitam katlinan lei, Muad heichim ishkachasla. If we're going to kill the animal after it gores somebody and the person dies as a Shor Tam, how will we ever have a case of a Shor? How will we ever have a case of a Shor of a Shor Muad? So before we get to the answers in the Gemara, Tosfa says over here, Tosfa's Dibri Maschal Me'acher says, Lo Motzi Lu'ukmi Kigon Shebisholosh Negichos Rishonos Niskavin Lehera Gabehema Varegas Adam. You can't tell me that, oh, the animal wasn't really considered a Muad because for the first three Negichos, it had intention to gore another animal and instead it gored a person instead. The Chiyai Gavna Lo'avi Muad Li'adam. Because in such a situation, it would not be considered to be Muad V'adam, whole of is Kavin La'adam. Then it, because it didn't have in mind the first three times to kill a person. V'gamba Hara Gimel Pamim Al Pnei Bailav Lo'avi Muad, Kedamina Beperek Sheini, In Asher Nasa Muad Achi Idabo Bifnei Bailim Ubifnei Ubifnei Basin. That it's not considered to be a Muad until you have Eidus three times in front of the owner and in front of Basin that it actually gored. So how is it that it ever gored a person three times with the proper Eidus that would render you eligible to become a Muad, yet it wouldn't have been killed already, but on account of having gored an animal, gored a person and killing the person while it was still a Shor Tam? One thing to pay attention to, this is going to come, well, this is a recurring machlokas Rashi Tosfos over here throughout the Masechta, is how many times does an animal have to gore until it becomes a Muad? So you'll notice that Tosfos over here was talking about goring an animal, intending to gore an animal, but goring and killing a person three times, or goring three times only in front of the Bailim, not in front of Basin, where there's no testimony. Then the question is, what happens the fourth time? So it's clear that the Shita of Tosfos is that you become a Muad after three times, and the practical impact of becoming a Muad is not felt until the fourth time when you gore. Rashi seems to hold, although Rashi's a little bit flip-flopping in his Shita, but Rashi for the most part seems to hold that you become a Muad on the third time. In other words, with the third goring, you are already considered a Muad, and it's not that it takes three and then it's effective the fourth. So there's a big fundamental machlokas Rashi Tosfos here. But back in the Gemara says, I don't get it. If the Shor Tam is going to be chayef skila when it kills a person, so how are we ever going to be talking about a case that a Shor HaMuad that kills somebody is going to be chayef skila and it also has to pay kofar? It should have already been killed back when it was a Shor Tam. So says the Gemara, so I'm a rabba, hacha b'mayaskinen kagon she'amdua l'shlosha b'nei adam, that it was running after three people, and we assessed that, that had it actually caught up to those three people who was pursuing, and had it actually gored those three individuals, then those people would have died, and on that basis, we're going to make it a Shor Muad. So again, Tosfos points out of Yer Kagoncham Dua L'Shlosha B'nei Adam that it was running after three people, and we assess what would have happened in its pursuit of those three people, then the fourth time it will be a Muad. This is Tosfos Lishitase. So Tosfos says, if you look in the Gemara, in your Medayik in the Gemara, it's Meduyak like my Shita, but says the Gemara, let's say we assess that had it caught up to these people, it would have killed them. Says the Gemara, Ravashi Yomer, so Umdana Lav Klumu, what are you talking about? Umdana, that we're going to say, well, the ox was running after three people, didn't catch up to any of them. But had it caught up to one of them, had it caught up to all of them, it would have gored them and would have killed them. What are you talking about? Who knows what would have happened had it gored the person, had it caught up to the person. That immortally wounded three people, and then it gored a fourth person. And when it gored the fourth person, the first three people who the ox gored and mortally wounded, they all died from their wounds. So maybe that is enough to render the ox a sharmuad, and that also explains why it was still around, why it hadn't been put to death after the first three gorings, because it hadn't really killed somebody after the first three gorings. Those people didn't die until after the fourth person was gored. Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz says that you have to explain that the edus that was given on the animal, because the edus that was given on the animal the first three times it gored was not that it killed somebody, because it didn't kill somebody. It was only that it mortally wounded somebody. So Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz says that you're going to have to say that in order to rend the animal a muad, it would be enough to have edus that the animal mortally wounded somebody and not dafka that it killed somebody, because otherwise the testimony shouldn't be sufficient to render the animal a muad. So says the Gemara Vayter, Rav Zvid Amar, Rav Zvid said, Kigon Shaharag Shlosha Behemos, that the example maybe is that it killed three behemos, that rendered it a muad, but it wasn't yet put to death, and then it killed an animal, it killed a person rather. Says the Gemara, Muad li behema havi muad li adam, but is the case of muad li behema muad li adam? Rashi says that this is a bitmiya, that this is a question. Is a muad li behema muad li adam? A muad behema is not muad li adam. It takes a lot more out of an animal to gore a person. A person's protected by mazel. So it should be noted that the Rambam over here reads this not as a kasha, but as a statement. That muad li behema have a muad li ba'adam. That the Rambam reads this, yes, as a statement that a muad li behema is a muad li adam. But that's not the Pashup Shat Rashi. Pashup Shat is like Rashi, who says, is a muad li behema a muad li adam? No, that doesn't make an animal into a muad. Ela amar rav simi ki gon shaharak shlosha avdei kachavim. That, for example, it kills three goyim. It's not liable for death. It's not put to death via skila when it kills the goyim. Then the fourth time it kills a Jew, and that's when it has the din of a shar. And that's when it's put to death for having the din of a shar muad. So says the Gemara, muad of the kachavim avi muad li Yisrael. Again, betmiya is a muad for an of the kachavim the same as a muad li Yisrael? No, it takes a lot more out of the animal to gore a Jewish person, because a Jewish person is protected by mazel, by ashkacha pratis, unlike a guy. And so it takes a lot more to kill a Jewish person. So Eva Amar Rav Shimon Lakesh Kagon Shaharak Shlosha Bnei Adam Treifa. If, for example, it killed three people who were a treifa, so that's enough to render it a muad, but it would not have been put to death via skila for goring somebody who's a treifa, because the treifa is only lemisa anyway. It was going to die anyway, so you're not liable for killing somebody who's going to die on his own anyway. Says the Gemara, muad l'treifa v'muad l'shalim. But is a muad for a treifa the same thing as a muad for a perfectly healthy person? No, because the treifa is a very weak person, so the fact that the animal is willing to run after a weak person doesn't mean it's willing to run after a healthy person. Elam rapapa, dekatal varek l'agma, dekatal varek l'agma. But we're dealing with a case where it killed and then it ran to the agam. It killed and then it ran to an agam. According to Tosas, you have to add another case. It killed and it ran to the agam. And then, so basically, it was judgment proof. They weren't able to kill it because it kept running to the swamp. And then the fourth time, it killed somebody. So and didn't run to the swamp. Rav Acha b'Rav Ika says another way that the animal could become a muad. Yeah, and it would not have been put to death after goring the first three times. Kigon shehuzmu zomame zomamin. It's in a case where the Edom Zomamim were proved to be were Huzam themselves. What in the world is this talking about? So again, just to go over what Rashi says outside, that again, when the ox gores, there have to be witnesses who come and testify that the ox gored. The witnesses have to come to Beis Din B'fnei Bailam. They have to come testify that the ox gored. Let's say, yeah, people who come and testify that the ox gored, which is enough to satisfy the testimony and keep the count if he's a tam, 1, 2, 3, and then he becomes a muad. Then Edim came and said, no, these Edim who testified that the ox gored, they were Zomamim. They could never have seen this. They were with us. Now, when the ox gores the fourth time, Edim come to Basin and say, those Edim Zomamim who disproved the first set of Edim who testified as to the first three Negichos, they themselves were Zomamim because they were with us in Chicago at that time. They weren't in LA where they claim they saw these other Edim. They were with us, meaning that the first Edus really stands. So the reason that the ox wasn't put to death initially was because we thought the Edus was Edus Zomamim. However, now it turns out that the Edus was legit Edus. That's why it is considered to be a mu'ad because the edus is valid enough to make it a mu'ad, but it wasn't put to death because at the time we were accepting the edus, we thought the edim were edim zomimim. So says the Gemara, well, hanicha ilia de tura binan shapir. Well, so how are we applying this edus now? If you want to say that the edus is for the purpose of warning the shar, that you just need edus, basically, that the shar gored on three consecutive days, fine. Eliyu de gavra binan. But if you want to say the whole purpose of the edus is to put the owner on notice and to warn the owner, so mei ma'amale lo haviyadana. So then he could say, what are you talking about? My ox shouldn't be a mu'ad. I had no idea that my ox was so dangerous, because all of the edus was disproven until this point. So kagon de amri kol emas de kotel ture gabe. So we'll say no. The owner knew exactly full well how dangerous his ox was, because forgetting about the edus and whether the edus was valid, whenever the ox killed people previously, the owner was there. So the owner knows that the ox was dangerous. Ravina Amar b'makirin as balashor. Ravina says, why is the shor still around? Because we recognize the balashor vein makirin es hashor, but we don't recognize which shor did the goring individually. So therefore we can't put an ox to death because we don't know which one it is. But when the ox becomes a mu'ah, then we recognize that this is the shor that gored the other times as well. So says the Gemara, "My avilei lemevad." Well, if we don't know which of this guy's oxen is the ox that's doing the goring, so what type of shmira should he have done? What should he have done differently? So mishum damri le torin narkones lach bebekarcha iboy le neturi kula bekarcha. Well, we say to the guy, "Well, you knew that you had a shor nagchan in your midst, and therefore you should have watched your entire herd." So a couple of ways that you could have a case where the animal becomes a mu'ad and would not have been put to death when it gored and killed somebody back when it was a short time. Okay, says the Gemara Baiter, V'zev v'zeh chayev v'misa, Tana Rabbanim, Mimash mar shenemar sokol yisokel ashar. From the fact that it says sokol yisokel ashar, Ini yodeh shenevela, don't I know that it's a nevela? When nevela asura b'achila, and nevela is asura b'achila, mal tamalomar lo yechel, why does it have to say lo yechel? I know lo yechel is b'saro. Why does it have to say lo yechel is b'saro? I know any animal that dies without shechita is a nevela, and I can't eat it. It's to teach me that if you went ahead and shechted the animal after Gmar Din, but before Skila could be administered, it is still going to be Asr Be'achila. I only know that it's Asr Be'achila. How do we know that it's also Asr Be'ana? Tamalomar Ubala Shor Naki. So the Pasuk says, Ubala Shor Naki, basically the owner of the shore is cleaned out. He doesn't get any benefit from it at all. My mashma, how is this mashma? Shemim Mitzoma Amar Kadam Shomel Chaveiro Yase Ish Ploni Naki Minchasav. It's like we say colloquially that a person is cleaned out of his nechasim. So the Bala Shor Naki means that he's cleaned out of this ox, meaning he has no benefit whatsoever from this ox at all. Vein Lobo Shuma No Shal Klum. He doesn't have any ano at all. How do we know that the lo yachlos besoro in the pasuk teaches me that if I shech the shor after gemar din but before skila, that's aser ba'achila? I might think that if it shechted after the gemar din, then it's going to be mutter and achila. V'hai lo yachlos besoro leicha deskile miskel de'aser ba'anohu. And I might think that lo yechelos besoro is coming to teach me not the iser achila, but it's coming to teach me the iser hana after the animal already received skila. Why would lo yechelos besoro be teaching me an iser hana? Kidurabavo, the Amaravavo, Amaravalazar, Kamokam Shinemar lo yechel, lo sochal, lo sochlu, echad isarachila, echad isarana, b'mashma, it's mashma, both in isarachila and in isarana. Unless the Torah comes and teaches me that it only dafka means an isra achila, like it does by nevela, leger ben asina, v'lov de kachavim ben mechira, because by nevela it says I could give it to a ger, I could sell it to an akum. So therefore we see that the lashon of isra achila can actually mean an isra na. So why do you know? How do we know then that you're talking where you shechted the shor after the gemar din, but before it was put to death? And it's asur ba'achila. Maybe we're dealing with a case where it was already stoned. Why do you have to tell me that it's asur ba'achila? Don't I already know it's an avela?
Kamash Malan, no, that Lo Yechel is teaching me that it's Asr Ba'ana. So Amri, Hani Milehecha Denafek Le Yisra Achila Visra Ana Mikra Mila Yochal. That's, well, the only time we learn in Isra Hana Bechlal the Lashon of Achila is when we're learning both the Isra Achila and the Isra Hana from the word Lo Yochal. Aval Hacha Isra Achila Misokol Yisakel Nafka. But over here, where we're learning the Isra Achila from Sakol Yisakel, just from the fact that the animal is an avela, so you call Isal Kadaita Hai Loyocholos Pesoro Isra Anohu. If you wanted to say that Loyocholos Pesoro was teaching me this Isra Anoh, Nichta Rachmano Lo Yehene, then the Pasuk should have used a much more direct language, because I already know the Isra Achila from the fact that it's an avela. So I don't even need to be taught the Isra Achila at all. So why would you use this roundabout obtuse lashon of Lo Yocholos Pesoro? It would have said Lo Yehene. Inami lo yochal, or it would have just said lo yochal, period. Why does it say lo yochal es besaro lamali, the afalgav de avde kein basar de shchuta aser? Because even though you're making it like basar shchuta, it is going to be aser. So from here we see that you're dealing with a case of that you're dealing with a case where it was shechted after the gmar din. So maskef la marzutra, says marzutra, ema hani mili hecha de bodak tzur v'shachat bo David kein skila. Well, maybe the only time it's going to be aser be'achila when you shechted it is if you shechted it with a very sharp rock, and therefore it's like skila. Why is it like skila? Because you stoned somebody with a rock, and over here the shechita was with a rock. Aval hecha de shachte v'sakin lo, hecha de shachte v'sakrin lo. However, maybe when you shecht it with a sakin, it would not have the same din. Maybe then it would be mutter ba'achila. So says the Gemara, Amri atu sakin ksiva ba'raisa. When the Torah teaches us the din of shechita, does it teach me that I have to shecht with a knife versus a rock versus anything else? No, it doesn't tell me how to shecht. Vatnan hashochit b'magol yad, and b'nichusa, it says that if I shecht with a scythe, or a tzur, or a rock, ovakana, or a reed, or anything that's sharp, shchitaso ksheira. Then a shchita is going to be kosher. So says the Gemara, Bahashla denafka le isra achila v'isra anah me'leyochol espesoro. But now that I learned the isra of achila and isra anah from leyochol espesoro, because again, the lashon of leyochol teaches me in isra anah as well, balashar noki lamali. So why do I need the pasuk of balashar noki to teach me this isra anah? Anas oro. No, it comes to teach me that the skin is osar banah as well. Salka that the chamina basaru da osar banah aval oro nishtari banah. I might think that it's only the basar that's osar banah. The or is mutar banah kamash malon balashar noki. That the balashar noki means that it's even the or is osar banah. Now, according to those mandiyamrim who say that the balashar noki is needed to teach me another halacha, like we'll say in a minute, hanoas ora minalhu. How do we know, or that we'll say later? How do we know that the or is aser ba'ano as well? So nafkalu me es pesaro, because it says lo yochel es pesaro. So from es pesaro we learn out es hatofel lebesaro. That we learn that the Isra Ana applies not only to the basar, but also to that which is tufel to the basar. Mind you, what is it that's tufel to the basar? Oro, it's the skin. V'hai tana es lo dorish. And the other tana who learns from balashar noki is not doresh esin. Kidetanya, like we see a machlokes, whether you're doresh esin or not. Shimon amsuni, v'amri lash nechemia amsuni, haya doresh kol esin shabatora. Shimon amsuni or nechemia amsuni used to be doresh all of the esin shabatora. When he came to Hashem Elokecha Tira, he was pirish because he was afraid to compare anything to Yiras Hashem. He was afraid to compare anything to Yiras Hashem. Amri lo Talmidav Rebbe, kol esen shadarashta matei aleihem. What's going to be with all of the esen that you were dorish until now? This proves that you can't be dorish every es. Chamalem kishem shekibalti schar la drisha, kach kibalti schar la prisha. Just like I was mekabel schar for the drisha, so too I'm going to be mekabel schar for the prisha. Marsha says, beautiful. What schar was he being mekabel? Well, the fact that he refused to darshan the es was because he had such a yira shemayim. He was afraid to be medama anything to the yira that you're supposed to feel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was being mekayim the mitzvah of yiras Hashem by being poresh from these drushas. So achabo Rav Akiva v'limet es Hashem al-kachatira l'rabos tamidei chachamim, until Rav Akiva came and learned comes to include Talmidei Chachamim. Why wasn't Rav Akiva afraid to be Doresh this way? Because he felt that being Doresh L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim is sort of Ke'en Yira Shamayim. Why? Because the whole reason that you have to fear Talmidei Chachamim is because they are the transmitters of the Torah Hashem. They're effectively a conduit to Hashem. So not Chas V'Shalom that you're comparing the Talmidei Chachamim to HaKadosh Baruch, but the same reason that you have to fear God, you also have to fear the Talmidei Chachamim, who are the conduits to the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So tomorrow we're going to pick up with what the other Mandi Amar, what the other Drasha is from the Bala Sharnaki that's written in the Pasuk over here.